All right, it is Wednesday evening, March 1st. Can you believe we're already in March? I'm still writing 2016 on my checks. And here we are, March 1st of 2017. So tonight is, again, March 1st, 2017. This is our Wednesday evening apologetics Bible study at Morning View Baptist Church. We are on week 33. And those of you that have already received your outline can see that tonight we are talking about Wiccans, or the religion of Wicca. And believe it or not, it is an actual classified religion now. Actually, Daniel, who spoke up earlier, is a chaplain, of course, in our United States Air Force. And at one of his last assignments, he had to serve alongside of a Wiccan chaplain. And so even in the military, the government recognizes this as a religion worthy of being represented among our armed forces. And it's more prominent than you think it is. That's another interesting dynamic as it has developed over these past couple decades. Before we get into it tonight, you're going to notice as we talk about this that it's very much a faith, although I hesitate to call it that, a religion that's oriented around nature. I do want to say, though, even though it doesn't come through this very well, Aleister Crowley actually wrote one of the early books and was known to help start one of the first covens of witches in the modern era here in the United States. And if you haven't heard that name before, Aleister Crowley, he is also the one who happened to write the Satanic Bible. And so there is very much a grounding in occult kind of under the surface here. Wiccan, as we understand it today and as it has developed, has kind of distanced itself from those influences of the more occult, satanic type of influences. But I want us to understand that we don't have to go very far to see roots in that. And so let's go ahead and begin to walk through this tonight so that we just have an introduction to the Wiccan faith. And as we've been doing, as is our pattern, we'll talk about it this week. Next week, we will talk about how to engage them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's start Roman number one here with the history and background of Wicca. The history and background of Wicca. Wicca originated a few thousand years ago among the Celts and other peoples who lived in the area now known as Great Britain. That's where they like to trace their roots to. It, depending on which brand of Wicca you get into, they go all the way back to referencing some of the pagan fertility gods and other things that go far back beyond the groups in Great Britain to other cultures. Even some of the stuff that Israel dealt with in the land of Canaan, they go back to some of the Egyptian gods. The book that Aleister Crowley wrote that was foundation to early witchcraft, actually, he said it was a revelation from the Egyptian god Horus. And so he actually traced it back that far. But Wiccans today, they like to trace themselves back to the Celts and other peoples who lived in the area known as Great Britain. Letter B there, Wiccans is a religion of nature worship and fertility, which celebrates the earth and believes all living things have a spirit. And thus they espouse pantheism, and they claim to see the divine in everyone. Now, with that statement, you're going to see a lot of bleed over there into a little bit of Middle Eastern thought, a little bit of New Age thought. It actually has a lot in common with New Age thought when we talk about Wiccan as it is practiced in our current day and time. Most Wiccans, letter C, most Wiccans celebrate monthly rituals or esbats centered on the lunar cycles, the cycles of the moon, and eight annual Wiccan holy days or sabbats, centered around the solar cycles, solstices, and equinoxes. For instance, two of the big celebrations in Wiccan practice are the longest day of the year and the shortest day of the year. Those are two main observances every year. There, as it says here, there are eight other holidays that center around at different times of the year. If you go back in the history, like I said, they had a lot to do with recognizing the fertility of the land. They were very much tied to agriculture. They believed very much in the spirits of the plants, the spirits of the trees, the spirits of the land, you know, the growing cycles. Whereas even the people of Israel would celebrate at the time of harvest, Wiccans would celebrate the time of harvest as well. But they would, of course, say that it's owing to just the sustenance and substance of Mother Earth to the spirits, just very much in those veins. Letter D, Wiccan practice involves the manipulation of nature through various rituals in attempts to gain power, prestige, love, or whatever else a Wiccan wants. And so Wiccans do believe in casting spells. They do believe that a person can, through being in tune with nature and being in tune with oneself, that you can discover and exert certain powers that are made manifest through incantations, spells, those types of things, which most of the time they record their own books of spells. They tend to keep them to themselves. Oftentimes they say it kind of begins through meditation on certain things, and it builds into certain spells and the manipulation of certain things. But more advanced Wiccans do believe that they can enact these spells in order to gain, again, influence, prestige, power, love for themselves. Generally speaking, letter E, generally speaking, Wiccans today do not believe in the existence of a devil. They do not believe in the existence of a devil, and thus they are not Satan worshipers. And this is interesting because in many of their rituals, they do tend to use the star figure or the pentagram, which is something we see so prominently figured in Satanism. I can't help but see the relationship between those two things. But if you were to ask a Wiccan if they were doing things around a pentagram, they would say, "What do you mean? This doesn't have anything to do with Satan," because they don't believe in Satan. Okay, they would say that they would call it as the five points referring to the five elements or something along those lines. They see it in very different means, and they do not associate the use of a pentagram with the occult or with Satanism at all. They have, and this is another thing that Wiccans, witches get accused of, they have no orgies or public displays of sexuality in their rituals, although some Wiccan traditions, they do practice nudity and sexuality that's not open to the public, but they don't do blood sacrifices, they don't do bestiality. All the old things that you would associate with the cult, with witchcraft, with a very close brand of Satanism, modern day Wiccans have nothing to do with any of that. And actually, if you approach them on the basis that they're associated with those old perceptions of witchcraft, they're going to be just as grossed out by those things as you are. Okay, they really have nothing to do with those types of again, as Wiccans exist today, they really don't see themselves as tied to those kind of perceptions or ideas that were at one time more closely associated with the occult and specifically with Satanism, and so they're not tied to that at all. So, and this is another thing, they do not practice spells with the intention to harm people. And so this gets right to letter F here, which is the Wiccan reed and the threefold law. So number one there under F, the Wiccan reed states, "And ye harm none, do what ye will." Basically what that means, and that's going back to just old English taken out of the British Isles, this means that a Wiccan is free to use his or her magic as long as it doesn't harm anyone. As long as you're not hurting anyone, do whatever you will. Do whatever you want. And so their basic premise is do no harm. They see themselves as a very moral people in that regard. In many ways, they see themselves as trying to do good and trying to bless others. And undertake what are very humanistic works, really to serve humanity, and they often couple that with just a supreme regard and respect for the environment, for nature things. So they see themselves as very moral humans in that regard, in the practice of their faith, their religion. Number two, the second is the threefold law, which says that all the good you do will return to you threefold in this life. Likewise, all the harm you do will return to you threefold as well. And so if you can read between the lines there, it's a very works-based religion. Okay? You do good to other people, and it'll return to you threefold. You get the benefit of doing good to other people, because good will be done to you. And it's just the universe rewarding those who contribute positive energy. I mean, if you get right down to it, it's the universe rewarding those who contribute positive energy. Likewise, if you do wrong, it is visited threefold back upon you with wrong. And so very oriented towards works and just a humanistic morality. Letter G, Wicca does not have a structure of clergy and or congregations, but it does have priests and priestesses which are in leadership positions within covens. Okay? So they call a gathering of Wiccans is called a coven, which is the word that's historically been handed down for a gathering of witches. They don't distinguish between witches and warlocks. If you want to go back to that type of language, whether it's a male or female, it's called a witch or a Wiccan. And again, because of popular connotations of the witches with, you know, black hats and green skin and moles on the end of their nose, they do prefer to identify themselves as Wiccans, not witches. Okay, so just that's part of how they present themselves publicly now. But they do have priests and priestesses, which are in leadership positions in covens. Each group really has the ability to determine themselves what constitutes a priest or priestess. There's no uniform. There's not like, you know, there's not like the Wiccan constitution or the Wiccan bylaws or the Wiccan book of prayer and order. There's none of that that we associate with other religions and denominations. And so each coven, or perhaps cooperation of covens, can determine for themselves what constitutes a priest or priestess, what it takes for a person to ascend to that position, what responsibilities that person occupies, all those different types of things. And so some of the more common varieties of Wicca are 1734. That goes back to a strain that was from here in the United States in 1734. There's Alexandrian, Celtic, Deanic, Decordian, Eclectic, not Alabama, Gardnerian, and Georgian. Gardnerian is actually probably one of their more influential figures. I mentioned Aleister Crowley and how he wrote a book that was very early on influential and part of the first establishment of a witch's coven when you talk about modern history in the United States. Gardner, he actually was someone who came along and took some of that rudimentary background and really he's the one who helped Wicca turn the corner to be where it is today, to really develop a lot of it. There are others that are part of this, and I think their names are represented here. But at least in what I researched and what I came across, Gardner was a very influential figure in Wicca as we know it and understand it today. And so, again, I note there, Wicca is even recognized as a religion in the military, and so they do have their own military chaplains and other groups. And again, they fly very much under the radar, but they are more prominent than you think they are. They don't have church buildings, so you're not going to drive by them as you're going down Atlanta Highway or, you know, downtown or on Vaughan Road or anything. Covens mostly meet in the homes, and maybe, if they're slightly larger, maybe the business locations of their members. And they fly very much under the radar. They do still, Wiccans, interestingly enough, do still refer to a time of testing or a time of turbulence about from 1100 to about 1800, when witches were sought out and persecuted. They still very much see Christianity as the main faith that persecuted Wiccans. And that goes back, you know, to the Salem witch trials and other things that we had here in the United States. But even before that, in Europe, when witches were burned at the stake for practicing different things. And they attribute that mostly, they lay more of the blame on the Roman Catholic Church than on the Protestant Church, although there's certainly, they lump Christianity together, but they would probably say it's Roman Catholic. So we'll talk about this next week, but that's kind of a good appeal because, you know, as good Protestants and Baptists, we can say, yeah, Roman Catholics were burning us too, which they were at times in history. But there's not a lot of structure there. They do tend to fly under the radar. And it's just because they're happy doing their thing. They know people can have misperceptions about them, and that's why they tend to fly under the radar. They're happy to talk to you about what they believe when they're asked. They're not going to be adversarial towards you necessarily. They're actually probably going to be some of the nicest, people you meet. Just like Mormons. Mormons, some of the nicest people you meet. Wiccans, probably some of the nicest people you're going to meet. They're not going to hex you or throw a spell on you. You know, if something wrong comes out of your mouth, that's not a sense at all I got of how they practice their faith. Again, it's just very much about being in tune with nature, being in tune with the powers of nature, fertilities of nature, cycles of nature, the lunar cycles, equinoxes, and being good moral people. Because again, they believe as they do good, that good comes back to them. And so they are very helpful and even compassionate people in many ways. Let's go ahead and just give you an overview of Wiccan beliefs. So Roman numeral 2 down there, Wiccan beliefs. And I'm going to do this in the form of affirmations and denials. This is, once again, I got this list from CARM, from the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. They provided that. But this is a great way to just kind of understand their beliefs. So let's start with what Wiccans affirm. Flip over to the back. Number one, they affirm the existence of a supreme divine power known as the One or the All. And so this is where you get very close to Eastern religion, Eastern mysticism, and New Age thought, where they have, there is an ultimate power, but it's not a person. It's more of a force. They refer to it almost in personal terms, but then they back away from it. So it is the One or the All. And number two there, the All is not separate from the universe, but part of it. And so if you want to think of it, it's almost like the universe itself, the cosmos, is its own force or entity or power without necessarily going all the way to personhood. Number three, that from the All came the God and Goddess. Now this is where they do begin to assign a little bit of personhood. And again, this is where it gets nebulous. Are the God and Goddess separate from the universe or the cosmos, the One and the All? Well, yes and no. Depending on which Wiccan you talk to, they say, well, they're manifestations. They're the way the universe presents itself in ways we can understand in male and female terms. Number four, the God and Goddess are manifested in various forms in the universe. And again, this is where a little bit of that Eastern mysticism comes in. You know, the concepts of yin and yang and how there's balance. That's kind of how they see male and female, that it's just kind of a balance, that both things are, both sexes are necessary. And that's really a theme of their life and how they manage themselves is by seeking balance in a lot of different ways. Number five, because of nature worship, environmental concerns rank very high. They rank very high. It's not uncommon to find Wiccans it's very common to find Wiccans who are vegan, who are vegetarians, just because, again, there's a concern for life and life force and all those different types of things. They're not required to be. They don't have to be. Some Wiccans will sit down and have a steak with you. It wouldn't be uncommon, again, because of their concern for environmental things. They rank very high for them. But they're very much, when you talk about an area of political activism, this is where they're more likely to focus themselves, is in that area of environmental concerns. They maintain, number six, that divinity is within. And again, this is where they are very much in common with a lot of New Age thought. You just need to get in touch with the God that you are, that is in you. Okay? And that's through meditation. That's really what spells and incantations are. Spells and incantations, they don't understand them to be some exercise of force that we commonly associate as being magic. They think that human beings, being what we are, creatures that have really developed on an evolutionary scale beyond other animals and living things in this environment, that we just need to realize powers and abilities that we have within ourselves. And that's really where their spells and incantations are directed. How do I tap and direct the power that is already within me to use it for my good and the good of others, they would say. And so that's really their approach. They do, number seven, treat biological evolution as a fact. There's not this idea of a person, a divine person who is the creator of all things. They reject that. They look very much to biological evolution. But at the same time, remember, they're a very spiritual people. They believe very much in spiritual reality, spiritual forces, the spirituality of the person. They just don't see an all-powerful God behind everything. Number eight, they believe that there are different and valid paths to finding the truth about God. And so this is where they can be very postmodern. They can have a very good and wonderful relationship with you as a Christian, and they can be happy for you and what you believe, even though you don't believe it. And again, forgive me for citing you again, Daniel, without your permission, but you know, Daniel shared with me as he was at that assignment. You can carry on a very positive relationship with someone who, with a Wiccan chaplain who likewise wants to make a positive contribution to the community there on the base and among the people they're responsible for, and act in a very moral and good and right way and seeking the truth and those types of things. And so it's a very postmodern approach. You know, we can all have different truths and all be right, but that's where they are. Again, number nine, that all creatures have a life force or a soul. And again, this is where we would differ with them as biblical Christians. We believe that really only human beings have souls in the sense that we alone are made in the image of God. And so that's a big difference. Number 10, I've already mentioned this kind of already, that the male and female principles are in balance throughout the universe, that the cosmos is balanced by these realities. Now, this is an interesting dynamic I thought of as I was studying for this, and I didn't find any new information on this. It is interesting to me. I would like to see how Wiccans are responding now to our current cultural evolution, where we no longer see gender as something that is set, where gender identity is fluid, and you have people now even claiming to be a sex other than male or female. It would be interesting to me to see how a Wiccan would say this is balance as we add, third and fourth and fifth categories beyond male and female. Maybe they're just not even to the point of addressing that yet, but I did not come across that in my research. Number 11, they do believe in the equality of the sexes, absolute equality. And, whereas again, as Christians, we believe that men and women are equal image bearers of God, that we are equal inheritors of salvation when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We just think that there is a hierarchy in the roles that we are called to fulfill in the family. But they would recognize none of that. They believe in more of an absolute equality of the sexes. Number 12, they believe that each person has male and female aspects that need to be balanced. Each person has male and female aspects that need to be balanced. How that plays out, I don't know. They would probably tell you, you just, when you're wrestling within yourself with different, whether you have this, more of this hunter-gatherer exertion of authority and strength propensity, or whether you have this nurturing, compassionate aspect side of yourself, that you need to reach balance between those traits that are normally classified as more male-dominant traits versus more female-dominant traits, just realizing the value of both of them in your life. They do believe, and this is another interesting dynamic that is in common with ancient Hinduism and Buddhism, they do believe in multiple reincarnations. And likewise, the teaching of karma. Wiccans believe in the teaching of karma. That is that idea, you kind of reap what you sow. When you're blessing to others, you get threefold blessing in return. When you do wrong to others, you get threefold wrong in return. That follows right along with the idea of karma. They would probably stop short, though, of saying, like in strict Hinduism, they believe, if you're really a jerk in your life, you're going to be reincarnated as a rat. That's how, Hinduism typically believes. If you got rats or cockroaches in your house, don't step on them, don't kill them. They might be your relatives, dead relatives. I don't know. Wiccans don't take it to that extent. They would say they probably tend to stick more to humans are reincarnated to humans. I found nothing that stated that definitively, but that seemed to me to be their practice. And they would say whether you're reincarnated as a wealthy person or whether you're reincarnated as a poor person or a person who's born into adversity, that's just part of your cycle of how to become in tune with yourself and with the universe. Okay? And so, again, I didn't research that at length. I wasn't able to push into that as far as I would like, but that seemed to me where that went. Number 15, the practice of rituals. They believe in the practice of rituals designed to attune Wiccans to the natural life forces. And so, again, that's where when you talk about when a coven gets together, when they observe these festivals, these lunar festivals, these solar equinoxes, these kind of things, again, all those ceremonies that they partake in are to put them in touch with nature, are to put them in place where they sense and meditate upon, again, natural life forces. And as you are more in tune with yourself and those natural life forces, that's where you are able to tap into that divine power that is within you. And once you're able to tap into that divine power within you that comes from being in concert with nature, that's when you can exert influence and you know, have power or prestige in the eyes of others, or find love and do those kind of things through the exertion of that power. Number 16, they believe that upon death, a person is released back into a place called Summerland. Summerland, as they define it, is a place of just paradise and peace. It is a place where your spirit has a time of contemplation before you, in Summerland, make the decision to enter back into the cycle of reincarnation. Okay? So Summerland is a place of peace and rest. It's a place of paradise where you go to contemplate your existence in between physical lifetimes. And you get to stay there and contemplate yourself and your spirit and be in touch with the universe until such a time as you enter back into the cycle of reincarnation and your next birth. Number 17, different paths to spirituality are acceptable as long as they don't hurt anyone. And so this is interesting. Even within a coven, you can have variances of belief. If they get too divergent, that's probably where people are going to part and want to join different covens or start their own covens. And because this is a very self-made religion, there are overarching principles like karma, you know, like cosmic energy, universal energy, very much a focus on nature. But after that, you're free to kind of assemble what you want. And you can have Wiccans that will even talk about Jesus being one of their spirit guides. And so be aware of that. They may pull figures from other religious faiths and adapt them into their system as a form of spiritual guide. And typically they'll more see Jesus as a teacher, someone who reached enlightenment, you know, who's a teacher that talks about, you know, man's inhumanity to man and how we're to be compassionate and how we're not to judge. That's the kind of figure they would look towards Jesus as. Okay, and so they all the stuff where, you know, Jesus was talking about hell or judgment and all those kind of things, they would say, yeah, that was just stuff that other people wrote that they shouldn't have written. You know, Jesus is really, you know, just a moral teacher, an example, someone who was enlightened. And so just be aware of that. I'm not saying that's common. I'm not saying that's uncommon. I'm just saying that's one thing I ran across. They can adapt figures from other religions even into their understanding of their Wiccan faith. But again, their main rule is believe what you want to believe, do what you want to do, just don't hurt anybody. Okay? And they would look at those who try to use Wiccan power to hurt people. They would classify them as not being Wiccans. They would say, yeah, they're into black magic. They're into the occult. They're into Satanism. That's not who we are. So they go to strong lengths to disassociate themselves with that kind of path and ideology. They do believe as well, number 18, that there must be personal responsibility for one's actions. They do believe in an ethic of personal responsibility, which again is part of what contributes to their good, you know, their orientation towards being good, contributing members of society, being moral, being upstanding, taking personal responsibility. You know, if you are in a bad place in life, you have the ability to change that, and you need to take responsibility to change that. You need to get in touch with yourself. You need to get attuned. You're out of tune with the universe. You're out of tune, you know, with the God and goddess. And you need to find balance in your life. You need to enter back into harmony with nature, because this is what you're meant for. And therefore, it's very much about personal responsibility. Wiccans deny. So letter B there. Number one, Wiccans deny the concepts of heaven and hell. Both. Again, this is where they're very much like Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, Buddhism. There's not a place of eternal conscious punishment. You keep reincarnating, learning, getting in touch with the cosmic whole until maybe one day you reach such a place of perfect balance and wholeness that you are part of the cosmos, but not the idea of heaven and hell. Number two, they deny the existence of the devil and the worship of the devil, Lucifer, etc. So they don't want anything to do with that. They don't believe in Satan, the devil. They think Satanists and others who are wrapped up in those things that maybe at one time were associated with witchcraft are completely different and separate from them. They don't espouse that or believe in that at all. This is interesting. Number three, they also deny the existence of absolute evil. They would say that people do wrong, that people commit crimes, but that the ultimate reason that people do those things is because they are so out of balance and in disharmony with nature and with the spiritual energy that rules the world. And they would lay most of that on your environment. They would say, you know, someone grows up to be a pathological or serial killer because of their environment, because they were surrounded with so much negative energy. They see it kind of like cancer to the body. What is cancer? Cancer is really arising from a genetic anomaly where your body begins to turn on itself, where systems in your physical body that were supposed to create new cells and all the functioning mechanisms within those individual cells, something gets out of whack and it makes mutated cells and cells in the body that then begin to turn on the body itself. And that's kind of how they would like what is wrong with the world. They would say people have gotten out of tune with the universe, out of tune with the God and Goddess. They have gotten out of balance. And it's because of their environment and their influences and because they've made poor choices. And that is what has made them, bad people or people who do wrong. But they really deny the existence of any form of absolute evil. They also deny the inspiration and authority of the Bible. And so when we talk about engaging them with the gospel, they're going to look at you and your use of the Bible like, you know, there may be some good principles that come out of the Bible, but it's other than that, it's just a book made up by a bunch of people kept around for a long time. And by the way, people who use that book used to burn people like me at the stake. You know, that's a perspective that they would take. They deny a need for salvation. They deny a need for salvation. Again, if they are counseling someone who's in trouble, and Daniel, I don't imagine you ever got to sit in on a counseling session that a Wiccan chaplain conducted. Again, from what I understand, and I'm speaking from very minimal knowledge, so if you research and find something different, praise God, you've gone further than I did. I'm preparing for one night's lesson. It's very much their counsel is, you have a need that you're meeting in an unhealthy way. What is the source of that unhealthy need? Okay, is it your pride? Is it, you know, and they would make reference to things like that. But ultimately, they're going to trace it back to you not being in touch with yourself, you being out of balance in and of yourself, and you not desiring the good of others as well as you should. That's where they're going to trace those things. There's not really a need for salvation. There's just a need for education, a need for you to know yourself and get balance and get in touch with kind of the forces of the universe. They also deny any moral absolutes, which is kind of funny because they say do no harm, which last time I checked is a moral absolute. Okay? And so that's a good point to engage them on. We'll talk about that next week. They deny that Jesus is the only way of salvation, of course, because they don't see him as God. They don't see him as Savior. At most, they might say he was a good moral teacher. They also deny the male headship represented by Christianity. In fact, that's probably one of their harsher criticisms of Christianity, is they see it as a very misogynistic religion, a religion that that men have used over thousands and thousands of years of human history to demean or abuse women. And so they would see it, they see Christianity as supporting inherently an unbalanced equation of males over females, of males being able to exert power over females. Number nine, they also deny any sort of religious authoritative hierarchy. Again, if another coven does something different, they're doing their thing, we're doing ours. Okay? And they also deny the concept that humanity is to subdue the earth, which of course is what God told man and woman to do in the very first chapter of Scripture, to subdue the earth and bring it into subjection. Again, that's part of us bearing out the image of God. But what their whole goal is that we be in tune with the earth, that we be in tune with the energy, that we be in tune with nature, and that we strike a balance. And so again, they're very much into environmental causes, very much in, you know, to protecting animals. And certainly, where there are areas where we are not, we don't need to be cruel to animals, even though I believe we are certainly allowed to eat them. I rather enjoy them. I don't need to chase it. I'm starting to ramble now. But they take that very, again, it really goes back to a pantheism. That's just the best way to say it. They go back to a pantheism. They're a spiritual, divine force in everything. And so that's what Wiccans are. Any questions as we finish up tonight?